It's about the survival of faith, family, and freedom. It's about the future. He's a father of five, and he's committed to preserving a legacy for the next generation. Here's Kevin Swanson.
Welcome to Generations. This is Kevin Swanson, Executive Director for Christian Home Educators of Colorado. Dave Buhner also in studio with us. And today we look at the world through the eyes of a biblical worldview. As we mentioned on a previous program, atheism is on the rise in America. A recent poll conducted in October found that almost half of Americans are not even sure God exists. That's 42% of U.S. adults are not absolutely certain there is a God, compared to 34% just a few years ago. Incredible how quickly people are losing a grip on the existence of God.
That seems odd to me because I hear a lot of them using his name
They use his name all the time, but that's because they assume he doesn't exist, because they know that if they use his name in vain, he will not even exist to hold them guiltless that takes his name in vain, which is the last part to the third commandment there, Dave. But let's look at atheism. Let's take a look at the view atheists have of the universe about us. The first thing about atheists is they assume a material world. What does that mean? That means they assume there is nothing immaterial. That is a spirit God who created this world. They assume that what is real is what they can touch, feel, and see. That's why they come back to us all the time and say, you can't touch, feel, and see God. He cannot exist. These are materialists, these are naturalists, and today we want to look at atheists and ethics. We want to focus on this area of ethics. Ethics are important, very important. If you have the wrong ethics, then you wind up killing 6 million Jews, and that's a bad thing. Oops, I just said the word bad. Bad is an indication of ethics, a definition of good and bad, right and wrong. Well, again, here's the question. When it comes to ethics, why is it important to have any ethical absolutes? Why is it important to say it is always wrong to do X, Y, or Z? It's always wrong for somebody like Adolf Hitler to murder 6 million Jews. That's my ethical position. Now, I have reasons for that. But now, we're not talking about my reasons today. We're looking at atheists and their reasons why they think it would be wrong to murder or to rape, or to do what I think a lot of people consider to be a bad or a wrong thing. Well, a lot of atheists will come back and they will say it is wrong to hurt other people, it is wrong to murder, because you want to protect the human species. But again, folks, why? Why is it wrong to protect the human species? Or why is it right to protect the human species? What establishes the basic ethical absolute for protecting the human species? Maybe we should end the species. Or maybe it's a good thing to hurt each other because that produces a survival of the fittest, and eventually our species will be wiped out because you don't want this species to survive. Dave, I guess an argument could be made that this species shouldn't survive.
Well, I think there are environmentalists who make that argument often, that say that this species is no better ethically or morally or in any way made in the image of God. They wouldn't dare say that. So it is no greater than, say, the insects. And so we need to limit or eliminate one or the other, this species, in order that the other species may be able to flourish, because they're just as valuable. People love their dogs more than they love their children. Ted Turner has said that the world right now is supporting 3 times as many humans as it should. Optimally, it would only be 1/3. So maybe he would be for killing all those Jews and then some other people who don't watch his network. And maybe then the world would be better, because the human species might be able to evolve into something else. I don't know what it would evolve to, but
again, folks, we're trying to analyze the atheistic, materialistic worldview and say, why is it wrong to murder somebody? Period. Why is it wrong? Maybe the species should die out. Now, sometimes they come back and say you shouldn't hurt others because they might hurt you. Well, maybe they should hurt you. Masochists don't mind getting hurt. And besides, it might be good for you to get hurt. No pain, no gain. Have you heard that before? Yeah, no pain, no gain. Maybe somebody should get hurt. And sometimes maybe people need to get hurt in order for the species to advance or for the species to die out, because maybe the species should die out. Or on the other hand, maybe the species should advance, or if you are nothing but cosmic dust floating around in a universe of pure chance, who cares?
Let me give you a little dilemma. If you're walking through the jungle and you're attacked by a lion and he has his intent on eating your flesh, should you kill the lion or should you let him kill you? Which is the moral right thing to do?
Well, environmentalists say, just let him eat you. He needs lunch, and besides, he's almost extinct. Now, again, maybe lions should be extinct. See, again, once you've cut loose the ethical absolutes that can only happen when you've got a transcendent God with a transcendent law, what in the world is an absolute? What is an absolute? Sometimes people say more people are happy when you have laws that don't hurt people. Well, who cares if others are happy? Here's another problem, is you never really know the consequences of any given action. So this undermines the whole utilitarian ethic that says you do these things in order to accomplish these things. But if you have no standard to define what is the good you're trying to achieve, and you have no infinite knowledge to know what kind of actions you can do today to produce the good for tomorrow, you've got a totally vacuous and useless ethic in the utilitarian ethic. My friends, there is no good absolute ethic belonging to any materialistic atheist. And in just a moment, we're going to analyze a real live atheist. We're going to listen to these people's comments, these atheist comments on morality and ethics, and we're going to analyze them piece by piece. In just a moment, my friends, atheism and ethics. I'll be back in just a moment.
Fasten your seatbelt. Hang on to your hat. Generations will be right back. In a world where 36% of children are born without fathers and half of marriages end in divorce, here's one father who cares about the future of the next generation. This is Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Back on Generations, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson today analyzing atheism and ethics. And we want to go online. We're going to pull off a web broadcast on a program called Atheists for Human Rights. And we're going to listen to some clips from Marie Castle, who's interviewing another atheist, Scott Muir. Now, let's go with the first clip. Here we go.
Well, hello again. I'm Marie Castle, Communications Director for Atheists for Human Rights, and this is Scott Muir. He's one of our board members. And today we're going to talk about, we're going to make the claim that atheists are inherently more moral than religious people.
All right, there's the clip, Dave. Atheists are more moral than religious people. This is hysterical. Morality, again, what in the world is morality to an atheist? Doesn't make any sense.
They need to define their terms. How can you have morality, and what would be morality, and what would be the standard of morality to an atheist?
It's impossible. Now, they're going to try to define some standard of morality as we listen to these clips. The second comment I want to make, though, is what in the world is a religious person? I thought a religious person was somebody who actually believed in something, whether it was that there is a God or there is no God or evolution or something else. People believe in lots of stuff. And there are believers everywhere. Atheists are believers. Atheists are religious people. So, again, what does she say? Atheist isn't a religious person, but I am? Interesting. Let's move on to the second clip. Here we go.
We can make this claim, and it's easy to document. The religious right is probably the most immoral version of religion that you can possibly imagine. It seems like their goal in life is to see how many people they can hurt.
It's mostly because they get their morals directly out of the Bible.
There's a second clip, and Dave, the religious right are the most immoral people around. This reminds me of a verse that just came up in our family worship time yesterday from Proverbs 29. It says, an unjust man is an abomination to the just, and he that is upright in the way is an abomination to the wicked. These people who are atheists and pro-abortion, pro-homosexual, you know, get as many sodomites out there murdering babies as possible, these sort of people find us abominable. Did you know that? The wicked tend to really, really, really hate the righteous, and you find these atheists and these hardcore evolutionists always out-tacking the quote-unquote religious right. It's because that's the way it always has been. When you've got wicked people who hate God and hate morality, they typically really, really hate people who are self-consistent in their fearing God and loving God and keeping His commandments.
Yeah, that Christian morality, that's really tough. She goes on to say that they want to see how many people they can hurt. That is we, the Christians. It's all that caring for the widow and the orphan and the not stealing and the not coveting. I could see where that really upsets them.
Yeah, and we haven't killed a single baby. I mean, they've killed 50 million of them. That's a lot of blood. I mean, how much blood? 50 million babies in the last 30 years. A lot of blood on the hands of a lot of atheists and materialists and evolutionists, people who believe in abortion. Boy, that's a lot of dead bodies. Now, let's say, stack that up to all the dead bodies in your basement, Dave.
Well, mine are all dead mice.
Okay.
I think really, though, it's that husbands loving wives and that strong marriage thing that I think is really, really immoral and offensive. You know,
yeah.
Because that means that you basically can't go rape your students.
Yeah, you can't. But whereas with their worldview, you can. And again, folks, with her worldview, maybe we should hurt as many people as possible. I mean, there is no God. He hasn't told us thou shalt not murder, so why not go out and murder as many people as possible? Why was Margaret Sanger's eugenics program, that is her desire to wipe out the blacks and perhaps the Jews as well, and of course Adolf Hitler's eugenics program, where he was out to wipe out as many Jews as possible, why is Margaret Sanger's Planned Parenthood program, that eugenic program she began 50, 60 years ago, why is that evil? Based upon her worldview. No, these people love murder.
Nothing wrong with an abortion. It's a perfectly moral act.
They'd murder people by the millions. They've been doing it since 1973 in this country. Adolf Hitler did it years ago because he really, really believed in a naturalistic survival of the fittest worldview. That's her worldview. See, there's so much hypocrisy here, Dave. She is the one that loves murder. She enjoys murder. And she's pro-abortion. Later on in this interview, she's going to talk about how pro-abortion she is. I think there's hypocrisy here as well.
Well, I think murder is the proper ethic for the morality that she espouses. Because if it is survival of the fittest, if I murder you, by nature of my murdering you, I have become the most fit, and I have eliminated the weaker part of the species, and therefore the species will evolve faster if I murder. Harrison Klebold believed in survival of the fittest. It is a very consistent application to a atheist ethic.
And Dave, you referred to the Columbine murderers 6 years ago in Colorado. Folks, they were wearing the t-shirt, survival of the fittest, while they blew away the 16 or 70 students and faculty down at Columbine High School. They were consistent. They believed in an ethic, and that was the survival of the fittest, and they performed their murder based upon that ethic.
It just turned out that they weren't the fittest.
Well, they're dead now. All right, let's move on to the third clip here.
That's why we're here, folks. We want to give you a reason to question. Come on, ask yourself, what is the real basis for believing this stuff?
So, what's the real basis for morality?
Yeah.
Because without some type of moral system, our species would have gone extinct long ago.
Yeah. Oh,
if
yeah.
nobody thought anything of raping or killing, or we wouldn't be here.
Well, the social primates generally all have some sort of a moral structure. Yeah, I read about these chimpanzees and that. And they also have a way of getting along, and it's a moral system.
Yeah.
And it's based on do unto others.
Yeah.
Even the chimpanzees have figured that one out. It's not exactly rocket science. You don't need a Bible to tell you that, my goodness, if I treat somebody pretty badly, I think they might treat me badly, and I don't think I want to live that way.
All right, this clip is critical here, Dave, because now we're getting down to the basis for ethics. So my ears are perking up. What is the basis for ethics? And here it is. The basis for ethics is not all that stupid Christian Bible stuff, but it's what the apes have taught us, and that is the golden rule.
So we should act like a bunch of monkeys.
Yeah. Yeah. The golden rule is effectively approved and made legitimate by apes, because apes have established it. It apparently is a proper moral code. Now, I think she's aware of the fact that do unto others as you would have them do unto you is in the Word of God. That's the golden rule in the Sermon on the Mount given to us by Jesus. She thinks it's intuitively obvious because apes do it. And somehow we have learned over the centuries, over the millennia, from our primate ancestors that this is a really good thing. But again, folks, what makes chimps the ethical authority of what establishes the absolute? I mean, chimps are establish the ethical absolute. Okay, chimps or God, you know, which would be better? Or maybe Jerry Falwell. I mean, if you had a choice, Dave, between chimps, Jerry Falwell, maybe even this atheist, or God, who would you pick as an ethical absolute? I wouldn't go to the chimp. I don't know. I just wouldn't go to the chimp.
Yeah, it seems kind of strange that she would hold up these quote-unquote social primates as the moral absolute. Because if they are, we should all act like chimps. We should all move to the forest. We should all run around naked. We should all, I guess, have sex with whatever we want.
Yeah.
Because there is no marriage among primates. There is no government, as far as I know. There's
What is rape among primates? What would rape be?
Well, I don't even know how you can have rape unless you are violating some sort of law.
Yeah.
I mean, because they just basically mate.
All right, folks, again, ethical authority. What is this woman's ethical authority? It is what chimps do. Once you have reduced man to an advanced form of cosmic dust, cutting off all transcendent godness, the creator himself, and you're nothing but a piece of cosmic dust floating around the universe of pure chance, you do what chimps do. And if tigers eat deer, you go out and eat some other person or some other lesser person or some other lesser race. If black widows eat their mates, then why not? I don't want to give anybody a suggestion here, but why shouldn't a woman eat her husband? If male lions eat the male cubs, why shouldn't the fathers eat their little boys in homes across America? Well, so many moral authorities, it's so hard to pick. What do you go with, Dave, when you've got lions, you've got black widows,
lions and tigers, chimps, and bears, oh my. I think maybe we should go with the honeybee. We should have one woman bearing all the children, and everybody else should basically service that woman. How would that be?
Well, and here's the other interesting thing about the golden rule, because she somehow thinks the golden rule is a great concept. Now, again, folks, I think we've undermined the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We said, hey, if you've got survival of the fittest operating in a universe of chance, why in the world do you want to allow somebody to take advantage of you when you could take advantage of them and you would be the stronger species, or at least the stronger variety of the human species, and probably evolve into something even better in the next 1,000 years or 10,000 years from now? Ladies and gentlemen, where in the world do people get their ethics? And the point is, they don't get them anywhere. Dave, the atheists themselves have undermined their basis for ethics. This is horrendous arbitrariness. Atheists are entirely unable to establish any basis for morality. By their very worldview, they have produced the system that allows for Adolf Hitler killing Jews and every child molester and every serial killer that cuts up his victims and puts them into mason jars. That's based on an atheistic, materialistic worldview that says when you're putting those pieces of human flesh in mason jars, it's just tissue. It's just tissue. It's just pieces of cosmic dust you're putting in the mason jars. This is the atheistic, materialistic worldview. And we have an occasional serial killer that happens to be self-consistent to it, and an occasional Klebold and Harris down at Columbine High School that want to be self-consistent and say there's no basis for ethics except murdering 16 or 17 kids down at the high school. Dave, I think the problem here is they're just not honest. I think I made that point, didn't I, yesterday or the day or two before? Atheists are not honest. They're not honest with their own worldview. They're not self-consistent and certainly do not bear a coherent theory of life. Again, folks, the ethic that is provided as the basis for ethics is do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That, according to Chimps and these folks from the Society, the Atheist Society for Human Rights, and there's a lot of internal contradictions right here within this issue of do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Because masochists, as I mentioned, I think earlier, don't mind getting hurt. And there are some people out there that says, I'll take the risk of getting hurt. I'm not scared of anybody. I know karate real well, and I'm a good shot with my gun here. And I really could care less if somebody does hurt me. Go ahead and try, because I'm a really good guy. I'm at the gun.
That's the might makes right argument.
Yeah,
if I have more power, I'm the one who's more right,
exactly.
Which is a survival of the fittest.
Exactly. And the other thing is people come back all the time and say, hey, it might be good for us to get hurt. Maybe it's good for you to get hurt. No pain, no gain. So, again, folks, there's no basis for ethics when you have cut off a transcendent God.
Let me go back to the dilemma of a tiger attacking you in the jungle. If the golden rule is to do unto that tiger as you would have him do unto you, do you kill the tiger as he's attacking you, or do you let him eat you because you would like to eat something else sometime?
Well, I think you're stuck with survival of the fittest. But again, Dave, this is what they said, is that it's all about the species surviving or advancing. I'm not sure they said advancing, but they did say surviving. They seem very interested in the species surviving. But if you're an atheist, let's ask one more question, and that is why? 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 Why should the species survive? Why? You see, the atheist has no teleology, Dave. It's a nihilistic view of life. It's there is no purpose for life, therefore no ethic. Therefore, why live? That's suicidal in the end. Dave, I don't know why atheists don't commit suicide.
Well, many of them, the self-consistent ones, do. It seems that they're always bouncing back and forth between what's best for me and then what's best for the social order, which is why atheists tend to be either anarchical or they tend to be very rigid in their social structures. Mao Zedong was a consistent atheist, and yet a lot of people would die at his hands for the greater good of the social order. So they're always bouncing back and forth between what's survival for me and what's survival for the species. And in the end, I think you have foolishness, utter and total foolishness.
It's more than foolishness, it's dangerous. It's dangerous. Atheism is dangerous because it strips back all basis for morality. It's utterly arbitrary. You have sheer materialism that strips man of all dignity and reduces morality to some kind of an arbitrary thing in a world of chance where cosmic dust is bumping up against other pieces of cosmic dust and nothing establishes a transcendent value and purpose for life. That, my friends, is pure emptiness. And I think as Christians, Dave, we need to express the truth of God's word and express it loudly, because if not, this world is going to be in trouble. Ladies and gentlemen, let me encourage you to develop for yourselves and your children a strong apologetic based on a biblical worldview, and I would start with a book by Greg Bahnsen called Always Ready, Directions for Defending the Christian Faith. You can get this book, Always Ready, by going to my website and click on Store, and you can purchase your copy of Always Ready right there. Folks, you can interact with the program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.